God bless you, dear brethren, dear friends from all over the world. Welcome to Radio Blast, a voice in the end time. We are together today to this live program with Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
And with Dora.
Greetings, brethren.
We will answer today some of the questions that you beloved friends have been writing in. And God bless you, you have very good questions, good points. Brother Joseph, are you ready?
Yeah, by God's grace.
Right, now the first question comes from Italy, and it says, I would like to know some places that are safe as a refuge in the end time.
All right, we've been talking about this in the past.
Yes, all right, you have been covering the subject.
Yeah, but just for people who maybe they don't have it so fresh in their mind, or maybe they haven't heard, well, I'll repeat some of the things, plus maybe I'll throw in some new things.
That's good.
Well, listen, the best refuge is the Lord. You have to get on your knees and ask him where he wants you.
Amen.
Stay away from places where there are nuclear, atomic installations, whether it's military or whether it's civilian. Because, well, you know, what happened in Fukushima, that was a civilian thing, but it's like a tsunami came and screwed up everything.
Which are the places with most nuclear plants?
Which are the places? All the Western countries, basically. Who more and who less? Like in Europe, for example, France is the one that has the most. But they're also everywhere, in Germany, in Italy, Austria, everywhere.
I see. So the places that are rich, like Europe and America, are the most unsafe then?
Well, concerning the nuclear plants, yes. But that's not the only problem. Like in America, for example, it's like they want to bring all this Antichrist pressure because they want to make a one world government, so they want to make a police state, you know. Mm-hmm. And in America they prepared these FEMA camps. But we need to answer this lady in Italy, right?
Yes, it's a brother in Italy who wants to know which are the safe countries.
It's a brother?
Yes.
Okay, the safe countries, there are some which are not as dangerous. Avoid the place where there are Muslims.
For what reason?
Well, you know, just follow the news. Those guys go around throwing bombs into churches and everything, and they just began. It's going to get worse and worse. In the last few years, the Christianity made a lot of gigantic progress in Christianizing Africa. So before, the Muslim was a big majority. Now the Muslim are an incredible small minority in Africa. And so, countries like Saudi Arabia, etc., rich country, they start financing all these rebels and these wars. Under the cover of political wars, actually, they're just trying to stop Christianity. That's what the devil is trying to do. That justifies, in their eyes, all these wars. That explains what's going on in Africa. So wherever you want to go in the Pacific, in Africa, in Asia, etc., go to places where the Muslims are not causing too many problems, because the devil is going to use a Muslim to throw bombs and kill Christian more and more and more.
You said wherever you want to go, Pacific, whatever, Africa. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that anywhere it's fine for everybody to go? Just go?
Wherever you feel led. This applies for the Italians, for the Europeans, for the Americans.
Whatever you feel led by what?
By God. Uh-huh. You have to get on your knees and ask God. There's not a place. The Lord told me and told us to come to South America for many reasons. Here there is one language, so you can go almost everywhere. And for us it's important because we 2 years now we changed already 3 countries, and they have the same language.
It's true, yes.
So
now what about Africa? Are there any countries there which can be safe?
Well, classically, South Africa is supposed to be the best place because they speak English, they have a British culture. However, you know, the New World Order, and the communist, the socialist mentality, ideology of the New World Order, because the New World Order is going to be a socialistic, communistic regime all over the world. Okay, it's going to be communism again, with another name, of course. So the New World Order has put the blacks against the white in South Africa. Now the blacks, they feel entitled, they have a right to go, like, you know, Robin Hood mentality, steal the rich because the rich are selfish. Well, you know, these rich people that the blacks are stealing from, they're not necessarily the ones who were responsible for apartheid, for racism in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we have friends there, we receive emails from South Africa. I have a friend that my brother used to be here, and I was a missionary there. And they said in Pretoria, the capital, is fairly safe because there are all the embassies and everything, and there is a lot of police there. That's South Africa.
But are you kind of inclined for the third world countries as safety?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You have to get out of the West if you can. If you cannot get out, you have to find a refuge right there.
What do you mean, find a refuge right there?
Yeah, Jesus said, flee to the mountains. Okay, so if you have mountains, that's a blessed place of refuge. Because the mountains, the Antichrist is not going to find you.
And if there are no mountains?
You're talking about the tribulation, of course. So, but until we get the tribulation, there'll be problems. Still, the mountains is a very good place. There are
so
no
you're
mountains.
Saying a refuge, to find a refuge before, for the time before the tribulation?
Well, you need for both. During the tribulation, not worried, because there you can only survive by miracles. And hearing from the Lord, which is something that everybody should be training now to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
But until the tribulation, you need to be careful, because there's going to be a financial crash. All your paper money will vaporize. And it's going to be like a turmoil, civil wars. You see, it's happening all over the world. You know, in Ukraine, they're starting to having a civil war almost. I don't know, I pray that they don't.
Amen.
So it's like the New World Order is just organizing everything. You know, they want to get rid of Syria, Iran, North Korea, because they don't want to join the New World Order, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that justifies why they are terroristic countries, you know? But North Korea was not bothering anybody until they decided that they were terrorists. In reality, those guys are not terrorizing anybody, they just minded their own business. Only the New World Order is online North Korea, because North Korea doesn't want to join the New World Order, so now they're terrorists.
Now, this brother who
I'm not saying North Korea is a very good place. Of course, they are dictatorship, but they're not worse than China.
Yes. This brother who writes, he comes from Europe. Are there any countries in Europe you would consider better than others?
Well, Norway is not in the European community. It's a very rich country because of their fishing. And they refused to go to the European community. They have to pay all these taxes. So they are staying out. So it's a very cold place, of course.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So it's kind of like Alaska. So, well, that's a very rich place, very organized, Scandinavian, etc. So that's a natural place. They're not joining European community. They are pretty cold people and pretty, you know, schematic and pretty German-like, but they're not like Germans, of course. They're more easygoing, of course. The only thing, that they don't have all the laws, okay, the European community has. European community have like they are trapped in thousands of new laws. You cannot do anything. And in Europe, they're going to have a new police now. Kind of like an FBI style. It's going to be like the Germanic model. They're going to spread all over Europe. And basically going to be like a Germanic style police starting this year.
That's amazing.
And that's going to be very tough.
That's scary.
Because the Germans can be, I'm talking about the German without Christ, which is the majority. The Germans, they don't need Nazism to be tough. Those guys are naturally tough, you know.
Sure.
So Germans without Christ is bad news. I mean, it's bad news anywhere, but the Germans are very, very tough people, you know, they're really strict, you know. So it's like Auschwitz and concentration camps and Nazism. It was not just because of Nazism, but because of Germans.
What about the poor countries in Europe, or the countries like Bulgaria and Romania and Hungary, Poland? Are they safe? Like, we've been there evangelizing, and people are very open there and very friendly.
Yeah, of course. I just come from there, and you are from Eastern Europe. You are Hungarian, Romania, you guys are from those area. And, those countries like Romania, Bulgaria, etc., they're much more easygoing, better place to be. It's easier to get around those places. If you are like a Romania or Bulgaria, stay where you are. And, of course, now Romania is opening the door to American atomic bases on the Black Sea, so you have to stay away from there, too. So there'll be problem there, too. But there is a lot of places, Romania and Bulgaria, those kinds of places you can find refuge, okay?
All right. Now let's go around the world a little, because brethren have been sending in questions to know about Alaska, Canada, Australia. So can we start a little about each one, find out the best?
Again, don't take what I'm saying like God, this is God's will in your life or prophecy for your person. No. This is just the limited knowledge I have, but the Lord definitely is the one that has to lead you, reveal to you, okay?
Amen.
So, for me, I would not go to Alaska because I would have to fight cold, number one. It's like you're already in a state of emergency now without waiting for the emergency. Like you have to have fuel, heating, etc., etc.
What about Canada?
Canada, same story like Alaska. Not as bad, but it's like it's also a very cold place. So unless you know what you're doing, you know, Canada is a huge place. You can hide whatever you want, but it has to be God's will, and you better know what you're doing, understand? If God leads you there, okay. But Canada is the West, like Australia, Canada, United States, Europe. It's kind of the same category, more or less, okay, except Europe and United States are the number one, the worst of all.
Why do you take the cold as such a big factor in finding refuge?
Because in case of emergency, you're going to die in the cold. In case of emergency, you run out of fuel, or you have to take a trip or walk for 50 kilometers, you'll die on the way.
But isn't it a good fact that they are peaceful? They're not involved in wars, they're not usually creating wars?
Well, they're also heading toward the Antichrist mentality, the Canadians. Not that they're so, they're not as bad as the United States because they're not as powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And because they half of them are, speak French and half of them speak English, that kind of gives like a check and balance there.
Yeah.
None of them really takes over, okay?
Yeah.
However, definitely a better place than the United States, if you don't mind the cold.
What
it
about,
still is the West.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. What about Mexico?
Mexico is a big problem with crime. You have to be careful. Stay. Be careful. There are certain cities that keep people by the 10s and the 50s. People that just kill like crazy. Right now, the people are establishing their own vigilantes, private police to protect them from the drug cartel. And now the government is getting jealous. And now the government is telling them, you cannot defend yourself because we're supposed to defend you. So now they have these private vigilantes who protect the town from the drugs groups that they're fighting against the government. So it's a big mess. Mexico is fine. In Mexico, you can hide in Mexico, but make sure you use your brain. Be careful where you go, because if you go in the wrong place, there is a lot of crime there. However, Mexico is a place, it's okay. It's not as bad as the United States. It's much better, okay?
In fact, we came from Europe with our mission to South America, and also this continent is full of crime and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So why did we come here then? I'm happy we came. I praise the Lord. But if you can explain a little to our listeners, why are we happy here?
We are very happy here, but first of all, because the witness and the evangelization is very, very good.
Yes.
Second of all, we came here because this is like the third time I came here.
Yes.
In South America. And it's like you can travel around from country to country, almost everywhere they speak Spanish. We changed already 3 countries in the last 3 years, and we're very happy. You don't have to change language.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, the visa situation is very easy. If you come from United States or Europe, it's very, very easy. It's easy to get a residence. You know, you get a job or something like that, and they give you residence. And so that's it. I mean, it's, for me, it was my place from the Lord. As far as you need to go to the Lord. I cannot tell you where to go, because if you go
yes.
to the wrong place, I cannot take the blame, okay?
It's true.
Also,
yeah.
Your success in whatever place you go, it depends very much how close you keep to Jesus, how obedient you are to the leading of the Holy Spirit, how active you keep yourself in the witness, in the evangelization. That is, if you're an active Christian. If you're a dead Christian, stay where you are, because you're not going to be blessed no matter where you go. Because the devil is going to run after you and overcome you wherever you go. You need to be a little bit awake Christian. Don't go wherever you go looking for churches Sunday morning. You're not going to find it. All the Sunday morning churches, they're all dead. I'm talking about the system.
Mm-hmm.
Sincere believers, you find them everywhere. It's time now, the Holy Spirit is calling the true believers to really organize a church in the house. No church Sunday morning meetings. Like a living church, like
yes.
every day in the house, every time when you eat together, open the Bible and you eat and you read the Word. And
amen.
You to your own family. Okay, if you have a family. If you're single, find some others to join together. Or get 2-3 families together, get a rent a little house with a garden, and you can find a little heaven on earth, you know. Like here we have rabbits, chicken, goats, we're going to get some cows. we're eating our own eggs that we produce.
We're learning.
Yeah.
With lots of experiences.
And, some places in South America, there is a lot of crime. Like if you are white, the places you shouldn't go. Peru is dangerous for you, for example.
So not any country in South America is fine.
If you're brown, it's okay. You can hide.
Even though it's a crime?
Yeah, if you're brown, you can get away, you can hide here and there, you don't stick out. But if you're white, like we are, It's like we stick out a lot. It's like in Peru, they will look into us gringos because we had a lot of money, but we don't. We are missionary. We pass the hat, but they don't know that. In fact, we got attacked by criminals. They wanted our money. The Lord protected us because we witnessed and we preached the gospel. The Lord protected us.
So in South America, it is a good place for refuge, but depends on which country because of the crime.
Yeah, like for example, you know, the Indios, Incas area, like that's Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, that's dangerous. It's a lot of crime if you're white.
Colombia too, I
Colombia,
heard.
The same story. Mm-hmm. Venezuela, same story. Brazil, it depends, half and half. In Brazil, like, there's a lot of white, so you don't stick out necessarily in Brazil. There is a super black and then not a bunch of white. In Peru, the whites are like, I don't know, 1%. 1%, and they have some, I don't know, 5-10% of half and a half white and brown, and then they have some 80% Indios looking. So you really stick out, because even the half and a half, they don't look very white very much. Okay, then of course, then you have Argentina, Chile. Those places are pretty white. Argentinian, like, they're just like European, kind of. So,
and Uruguay?
Uruguay, they seem like Argentina. So you have to see.
Interesting. What about the Asian countries? Like the Hindus and the Buddhists, they are quite peaceful usually. They believe in love, in peace.
Thailand has been a very peaceful, nice place. Only lately they're beginning to have a civil war. But it's probably for sure provoked by the New World Order, because they want to change the government. They want to put a communist government, socially. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening in Thailand. Otherwise, the Thais are very sweet people. I have many friends, missionaries there. They're very nice people. So the Philippines is one of the best places because they're Catholic.
They speak English there.
They speak English. They're Catholic. It's a rich country. All right. And
we almost went to Philippines.
We were thinking about that, yeah. They're just a bunch of islands, the Philippines. Okay, and then India, you have to be careful with the visa because, you know, I was there 2.5 years and we had to bribe the authority to get the visas. Because otherwise you couldn't stay. No, because we as missionaries were illegal. They don't want missionaries to preach the gospel, so we had to do underground. You remember, we used to go to the school, they were run by, I think, were Catholic nuns. And the nuns begged, oh, yes, you can talk to the people, but don't pray with them to receive Jesus because... The RSS is a fanatic extremist Hindu group. They would burn our school if you do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I would talk to the students, but I couldn't pray with them to receive Jesus. So in India, we were evangelizing underground. Underground, you can do whatever you want. You know, we were officially tourists. Remember, we have friends, missionaries, the police would go there, check the house. And as soon as they start checking the house, during the night, they would pack the luggage and take off. The morning, the police would go back and check again, the house would be like a ghost house. Everything was gone. They just went to the landlord, get the money for the rent, and took off.
Wow.
That's
good training for the Great
that's
Tribulation.
India. Other than that, if you are underground in India, you make it. Because the Indians are some of the sweetest people in the world.
What do you mean underground? Practically speaking.
Well, you know the catacombs in Rome?
Okay,
you
so what,
you have to bring a pick and a shovel. And dig tunnels under whatever city you live.
Are you serious?
And that's
Father
what the
Joseph?
Christian did in the early church.
Okay, does that apply now?
You know, under Rome, they had 950 kilometers of, how much is that, 600 miles of catacombs tunnels.
Does that apply now,
Brother
Joseph?
People went there and they got lost and died. They just find them dead after a long time. They couldn't find their way out.
But that doesn't apply now.
It's like a labyrinth. I'm joking, of course. No, we don't need
So practically
physical
speaking,
material
what does it mean
catacomb?
Practically speaking.
Well, it means, you know, imagine, depends on the place where you are. If you are in a Muslim country, I hope you don't pick one of those countries, but if you are in a country like that, you need to evangelize on the ground. And your greatest defense is moving. Okay, I know there was a guy in China where it's forbidden to preach the gospel, and this guy was going from town to town preaching the gospel, and they never got him. He would go in a village with a pot, you know, a cooking pot, and with a scoop, and he goes bong, 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 and he said, what's this guy's out of his mind? So people would go, well, what are you banging? Because Jesus loves you. You need Jesus Christ, this and that. And then he would pray where he would receive Jesus, and then he would see the most awake and say, you are the pastor of this town. And take off. The police would arrive after a couple of days or so, and he was nowhere to be found.
Hmm.
You understand? He was preaching in China. So that was quite radical. So anywhere you go, you can be protected 100% by the Holy Spirit if you obey. The first thing the Holy Spirit will tell you, stay mobile, move around. So that doesn't mean at home every day. Like, for example, we usually, you know how we do, we rent a house, we stay a few years, just a year, 2 years, 3 years. But when persecution comes, we see we homeschool our children in the house. So even the school is not a problem because we teach, we have six children, we teach them in the house.
Amen.
And when there is a problem, we just take off. We just move. We pay the rent and take off. Many times we even have to let, forsake half of the rent paid and lose it and move.
Yes.
And, well, you know the story. So.
Yes. In fact, just recently we answered some questions exactly about this subject, and you can hear it on our radio. It's called Active Christians, Should They Operate Openly or on the Ground? Like when they evangelize, should they be very open? Now, I would like to ask you, Brother Joseph, more questions and some specific countries that the emails were mentioning.
How many more emails do you have?
Oh, some 3-4.
Okay.
But I would like to take a break to listen to a beautiful song by David Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story called The End of the Beginning.
Wow. Let's go.
Just to wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about. So I settled back in my seat, a bestseller, I said, a history and mystery in one. Then I opened up the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
The Word was born, and the Word was with God. And the Word.
He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. That's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition, a made-up tales, and just to help the weak to survive. Oh, let me read it again, I said, listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross. And that was the end of the beginning. With a smile, what more could there be? He's dead. You said they hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said I'll read it again, but this time there's more. And I believe this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all this for you. Oh,
see. He came and he lived and he died, but that was the end of the beginning.
Welcome back to Radio Blast, dear listeners, to our live program with Brother Joseph, answering your questions. So we are talking today about which are the best places in the world, which are the safest places as a refuge for the end time. Now, I would like to ask you, Brother Joseph, to continue our conversation. What about Israel? Some brethren have been writing, actually a few brethren have been writing, saying, is Israel a blessed place protected by God? Is it a good refuge for the end time?
Keeping in mind, Brother Joseph, that the Bible says the abomination of desolation will be there. So it's quite a very interesting question.
No, it's just according to the book of Zechariah, chapter 12 and 14, Israel is going to get a blast and is going to get the rod by the Antichrist. They'll be persecuted. Zechariah 12 and 14, they're going to be persecuted. But it will be very minimal, and it will be basically around the time of the rapture. Okay, just toward the end. It will be possibly after the rapture.
I see. Okay. So what about until then? Is it
until
a good place?
Until then, I believe it's going to be protected.
And why do you say that?
Well, Revelation 11, there is a prophecy that when the seven trumpets sounds, in verse 15, which is the rapture. And that happens, incidentally, after the tribulation, because it's clear in the whole chapter. The two witnesses prophesy for 3.5 years, and then they are killed after 3.5 years, in verse 7. All right? And then there is the resurrection.
Yes.
The voices come up here. The resurrection, which, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, precedes the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
So they resurrect. They go in heaven, and then in verse 15 later up, the seven trumpet sounds, okay, which according to 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52 is the trumpet of the rapture, the last trumpet, and so they are raptured in verse 15, and then you can see from verse 13, or until 15, you see that there is a resurrection and the rapture. At this time, there is a great earthquake. All right, you can just study afterwards if you like. There's an earthquake. And it says that 7,000 people died. All right. And the rest give glory to God.
Okay.
So how can the rest give glory to God if they are the mark of the beast? So how can they give glory to God if the whole nations receive the mark of the beast? They can't.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that Israel will be supernaturally protected.
That they won't take the mark of the beast?
Well, the mark of the beast either will be forced, what can I say, around the period of the rapture, the end of the tribulation, or if it's being forced in the beginning, because it's not clear, then Israel will be protected because they couldn't repent and give glory to God and return to be God's people in Christ if they had the mark of the beast. Therefore, to be without the mark of the beast until the rapture, they must enjoy a supernatural protection. So that's my point to why I think Israel is a good place of refuge, not only, but I think it's even blessed from God to an extent for the sake of those among the Jews who will repent, who will receive the Messiah, who will turn to Jesus. Not all.
That's quite something, that they don't take the mark of the beast. But now, looking at Israel today, and even for so many long years, there have been so many conflicts and problems and wars. It looks like the center of all the problems in the world is there. So it's kind of strange to think it's a safe place.
The problem is there because since May 1948, when Israel was declared a nation, the Arabs have been trying to destroy it.
Yes.
But there was a war in 1948, then there was another one in 1967, the Six-Day War. And Israel outnumbered 1 to 1,000, they won. How could that be? Miracle. I mean, there was no way. America was not defending Israel in 1948. There was like, I think some 6 or 7 countries, Egypt, Turkey, and Syria, and all the Jordan, they all attacked Israel. I mean, hundreds of millions of people attacking. And those guys were just, they were just 600,000. They overcame them all. They didn't even have a big army. They didn't have America defending them.
But then how can it be safe if there are all these wars? that involve Israel?
Because of God. It's the same principle. How could David defeat Goliath? How could one angel of the Lord defeat hundreds of thousands of Assyrians without Hezekiah, king of Jerusalem, moving a finger? Joseph, Hezekiah, all those kings that were defended from their enemies.
Now, I know from other teachings that you have been giving that the Antichrist will fight against America. America will not follow the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes from Europe, and America will fight against it. Doesn't that make America, the USA, a very good place of refuge?
Well, listen, America was the modern Israel, the new Israel that was supposed to evangelize and give salvation to the world was America, except America backslid and forsook God, just like Israel of old. Now in America, they don't want Jesus. They don't want God. They don't want the gospel. They're not evangelizing anymore. In the 20th century, America was the country that was the most evangelizing. It was the number one. And it still is today. Most missions are American, but they're kind of dying. Because they're just nothing. Just want to sleep. The churches in America, they're into gospel prosperity. They just want to fill the money with pockets. A lot of pastors are mercenaries, etc., etc. They're into building more than Jesus. So America was God's place, God's people, but now the Christians have been persecuted. Now the Christian in America are just being put down. No, America is not anymore God's country, God's people. The Christians are very much in the minority. And America will side with Israel, it's called the King of the South in Daniel 11, against the Antichrist, the King of the North. In Daniel 11, from verse 21 up, you see the war of the end time between King of the North and King of the South. The King of the North is Antichrist. King of the South is Israel and America. And the Antichrist will win and destroy America, the Babylon.
I understand. All right, then I would like to move now to Australia. What do you tell us about Australia?
Hey, Australia is a Commonwealth, one of the countries that belongs to the Commonwealth under the Queen of England. They're just exactly like England.
But they're quite isolated from all the problems.
Yeah, geographically.
Yeah.
Geographically. But every war that England fights, Australia follows, because it's the same ideology, the same political system, the same mentality, the same people, just as England. I don't know if it's as corrupted as England. Maybe no, because it also had a strong American influence when America was Christian. So it's not as bad, but it is bad. It is the West. We are brethren in Australia. They're trying to leave. They say it's difficult. The school system is very antichrist, etc.
What about New Zealand?
New Zealand is much more Christian, I understand.
It's right there next to. Is
the capital. The capital is Christchurch. Quite a good name. They just had a bunch of bad earthquakes sent by the devil. Because
so it's a good place, New Zealand.
I'm not sure. It's probably the West. It's probably also the West. It's better than Australia, but it's still the West. All right, so they can change government anytime and become like Australia. So I've never been there, so I don't have many information about Australia. I know the people are sweet. Okay, and so that's...
And there are so many islands in the Pacific Ocean.
Oceania,
and
yeah.
They're usually inexistent. You don't hear about them. They seem pretty quiet. Yeah. Are they safe?
Well, some of those islands have to be careful. They're Muslims. They are predominantly Muslim. Should avoid the Muslim country because any time the devil snaps his finger, the Muslim are going to follow and persecute the Christian. They already started throwing bombs in Christian churches, especially in Nigeria, because the Muslims were losing ground. I mean, Africa was turning, talking about Africa now, Africa turned to Christianity, which used to be Muslim. Now they are all almost all Christian, and so the Muslim freaked out, which is Saudi Arabia, like that super rich country. So they're using this the petrodollar, the petro money, the oil which they got from the oil, to finance a group
the
of...
The oil they got from the oil?
No, the money they get from the oil.
Ah, okay.
You know, the very rich countries like Saudi Arabia, especially. They use this, number one, Saudi Arabia, financing all these Muslim terrorists and Muslim rebels to try to overthrow, like in Nigeria, this Christian government to put up some Muslim government who will kill anyone who's not Muslim.
Yeah.
And all these Muslims, they go around killing each other everywhere. They have the blessing of the devil, of course. So the Western media which is another puppet of the devil. They just don't say anything about the Christian persecution by the Muslims. But if a Christian does something wrong, all the media talks about it. But when the Muslims kill right and left, well, that's just politics. So you have to see that the Western media is in the hands of the devil completely. So they will just see what they say and try to understand the opposite. Okay, so in the Oceania, all these islands in the Pacific, you can go there. Probably there are some places which you can find refuge. You would have to analyze. The number one thing you have to look at is the religion. If there is like a lot of Muslim, no.
That's good, yeah.
It's not a refuge. Unless you feel called to go there as a missionary, I'd be ready to die. What I'm encouraging in the West, all the brethren in the West, if you don't get out of the West, become a missionary and start evangelizing the Muslim in the West, because there you are protected.
Yeah.
In the West, it's true. You are relatively protected. You can evangelize Muslim a lot, because the Muslim in the West, they cannot go around killing people right and left like they do in the Islamic country, where the women are slaves, husbands and torture their wives, and the judges let them do it. So basically, the Muslim women, the Muslim wives, according to the Quran, they're just zombies. You know, they're just servants, just for sex, washing laundry. They have no right to drive a car. They're just slaves, basically. So that's Islam, okay? But in the West, a lot of Muslims are turning to Christ. I just saw a documentary film about in Germany, where Christianity is more dead than America. It shows that a lot of Muslims are going to Christian churches because they are fed up with the Quran, Mohammed, Allah, all the stuff. It's all a bunch of smoke, you know. They're not real. Okay? So they see that Quran is just an oppressing thing, oppression. So they're all going to the Christian churches. There was a film I saw about, I think it was by, anyway, I don't remember the title, but it's like lots of Muslims in the West are getting converted, right? So if you're in the West, don't go to sleep in some cemetery church, okay? Go evangelizing, especially the Muslims.
I have a question. We talk so much about refuge and finding a refuge, but I would like to ask you, what is the main purpose of taking a refuge in this time? Why should we do it?
So you can be remain alive. So you can witness, remain alive, so you can bring glory to God, serve the Lord, evangelize, be an active Christian. If you're looking for a refuge so that you can just save your skin and continue doing nothing, well, just stay where you are, it makes no difference. After all, it's like if you're a living dead, like if you're in a church warming up a bench or doing nothing for the Lord, please don't go around bothering some missionary in another country who has to take care of you. So if you're planning to do nothing for Jesus, stay where you are and good night. Like if you move, it has to be for Jesus, evangelize, to do something for the Lord, not just to save your skin. Or I used to be a soldier, used to fight, to produce. And I didn't come here to South America so I can save my skin. Who cares about my skin?
Yes.
All right. We want to be a soldier for Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God help us. Now, there are lots of brethren who have been writing in saying, we want to prepare for the end time. We want to leave this country, but we're not able. We can't. We have debts. We have different problems or disunity in the families.
Well, dear brethren,
I would like to ask you, what do you suggest for them to do, but after another song? Dora, you have a song for us?
Yes. Casting Crowns, Stained Glass Masquerade.
Is there anyone that fails? Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today? Feeling so small, 'cause when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I know they'll soon discover that I don't belong. So I tuck it all away, like everything's okay. If I make them all believe it, maybe I believe it too. So with a painted grin, I play the part again. So everyone Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small?
We are back to the live program at Radio Blast with Brother Joseph. We're going to answer your questions, dear listeners, about the end time and the safe places. And we already answered more or less the main countries which would be safe, where to go. But if you have any other questions, if you want some specific details about specific countries, please write in to our email address. We'll do our best to answer you. Brother Joseph, we are left at one question. Actually, many brethren have been writing in saying that they encounter different problems. The most common is that either they have debts or they have disunity in their family. The wife or the husband doesn't agree with leaving the country. They would like to move out, but they encounter these common problems. What do you suggest to these brethren who are stuck?
Well, concerning if you have disunity in the family, you will have disunity whether you live with them or whether you stay with them. Whether they come with you, or whether you go alone without them, you're at this unity one way or the other.
So then?
And so, Luke 17:32, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. So there comes a time then you say, listen, I need to follow Jesus, okay?
But that's such a drastic decision.
Then what are you going to do? Stay with Lot's wife in Sodom?
I guess not. It's just heartbreaking.
If you have division, that means you don't have a family. So, like he says in Matthew chapter 10, I didn't come to bring peace, but I bring a sword. From now on, a family shall be divided. Understand?
So, you're suggesting obey and follow Jesus, no matter what?
Obey whatever Jesus tells you to do. If the Lord tells you to stay, stay. If the Lord shows you to go, go.
So even without your family, basically leave them.
But it seems like you don't have a family if you're in disunity about following the Lord. It's like, first of all, you're married to Jesus, married to God. You're the bride of Christ. If your family is not interested in going into all the world and preach the gospel, you might have to go alone. It's like, it's not that you divorce, you forsake them. You just go to serve the Lord. Eventually, it wasn't Lot who forsook his wife. His wife forsook Lot.
Yes, it's true.
She looked behind, etc.
It's true.
So a Christian never divorces. A Christian never leaves his family, but he never leaves the Lord either. Christian does not deny the Lord. Keeps following the Lord, whether in your country, in your town, or in another town, in another country, wherever the Lord leads.
Yes.
So if Abraham, God tells him to go from country to country, and Sarah says, no, I want to stay here. Abraham needs to go without Sarah.
Oh, for sure he needs to follow the Lord and obey the Lord. It's just not so easy in these situations.
Look, when Jesus went to do God's will, it says in John 7:5, I think. Can you check if it's verse 5?
Yes.
I think it's verse 5. It says, his brethren did not believe in him. Is that correct?
Yes. John 7:5.
What is it say?
John 7:5, for neither did his brethren believe in him.
All right, so they didn't follow him. Here is a family split. And then they show up, one time they showed up, he was preaching Matthew chapter 12, your brethren, your mother, they looking for you. So who's my mother or my brethren? They that do God's will. Mm-hmm. So God never forsakes you. You never forsake your family. But if your family brings you a point, you say, listen, if you keep following Jesus, we're not going to come. You don't stop following Jesus. You keep following Jesus. But you don't forsake them, they forsake you. Understand?
Yes, thank
so
you.
So it's, that's the way it
the
is.
The Lord will surely bless us, dear brethren.
But you know, it's ridiculous, like a family, have you seen picture, this American soldier coming back from Iraq, hugging the wife at the airport?
Yes,
I mean, those guys, they forsake their wife and they cheated to go in Iraq to fight an Antichrist war, to kill Muslims, which they should go there and preach the gospel to. They go hate their enemy, which they should love. They go fight a stupid war by stupid strategies, by antichrist demonic leaders. And then when it comes to follow Jesus, I cannot forsake my family. You see how ridiculous it is?
It's true. You have to look at things in the right perspective. This is a very good example, yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
And what about the other situation when they say they have debt and they are stuck to stay in the States or in Europe? What can they do?
Hey, what can you do?
Are there places of refuge right there where they are?
Yes, definitely.
Where?
Where? You want the address?
I think some brethren would love for you to give an address.
The address is Get on Your Knees Avenue, number immediately.
Amen.
Get on your knees and ask the Lord, I don't know where you should go.
If they are stuck, if they are stuck and they have to stay there in the West or in America, in Europe, where should they go? What should they do?
Well, Jesus said, flee to the mount, Matthew 24:15-21, it says, when you see the abomination, tribulation is coming, flee to the mountains.
So the refugees go to the mountains?
Mountain is a symbolic thing, because mountain represents the best place to hide. When Saul wanted to kill David, he went to the mountain. He went in a cave, he went around. So you just have to find a place. There are countries, I think like Holland and places like that, there is no mountains.
Denmark also.
Yeah, Holland is called the low country. And you need to find a place. It's like in Germany, the Jews who escaped. You ever saw a movie called Schindler's List?
Yes.
Okay. With the Liam Neeson.
Yes.
And an actor became a Muslim now. Because you said the Christianity is too dead, I'm going to become a Muslim.
Boy.
thank you, the dead Christians, for not evangelizing. That's on our conscience, okay? So, listen, in this movie it shows that he was hiding Jews right and left. So, it's like, that's an example. Flee to the mountain. It could mean hide in a basement. It could mean hide in a grove, in the woods, wherever you can. Maybe there's not a mountain, so maybe hide in a farm, whatever. You understand? Flee to the mountain. So just hide. The Lord will show you where. But now it's easy to change country. Now it's easy.
Yes.
Now it's like
yes.
in Germany when Nazism was taking over. Now is the time. You see the black clouds of Nazism approaching over Germany. Now it's time to go. Don't wait until they build the Auschwitz. In America, they're building the FEMA camps with coffin already prepared. And they're sitting there, Lord, protect my dead church building. Forget your dead church building.
It's true.
Follow Jesus.
Amen.
Make a church in your house. Get together with 2-3 families. Go live in the, learn to live in the woods, in the forest. Learn fishing. learn, I saw an article this morning, a guy that's from Mexico, okay, he was going to go from Mexico to San Salvador, to Central America with a boat. But something went wrong, and instead he ended up, where did he end up? Near China. He ended up near, I forgot the name, it was an island on the way to China, on the way to... So he was, I think, a few months on this little boat, a few months. And he was eating turtle from, he was getting turtle from the water and eating them and drinking the blood of the turtle.
Oh, yeah.
Understand? Eating fish raw and turtle, and as he was drinking the blood of the turtle. It's a newspaper today.
And he survived.
He survived.
That's amazing.
I think it was after, I forgot if it was 1 year or a year and a half. So you know what I'm saying? I'm not suggesting go drink the blood of the turtle.
That's good.
Please try to find a more exciting diet. But I'm saying, learn now how to have a little house in the middle of nowhere.
I remember.
Not in a valley where you go with your gun, your machine gun, your bazooka. That's stupid. Stupid. What are you going to do with your guns? My lady, send Obama, send them, take your gun and say, dear President Obama, do you want my guns? Here it is. Also together with a gospel track, receive Jesus. Mohammed is not good. The Muslim, Islam is not going to save you. Here, take Jesus while he's still in time, Obama. Hell is coming.
So don't put your faith in guns.
No, Jesus said either live by the sword, shall die by the sword. What are you going to do? Get a gun? I mean, don't listen to those guys on YouTube who say, go get guns. Don't give your guns. I forget. What are you going to do with your guns? Like those guys in Waco, they have all these guns. What is it? The guns will make people kill you quicker. They're going to go with helicopter, with drones. They're going to shoot missiles to you. You know, they have drones active in the United States. If you live in a house in the middle of nowhere, they know where you are. Okay, they're going to send a drone and blow you up, you and your guns. The best gun you can have is the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Word, the weapons of the Spirit. Move, Jesus. The best thing you can do is in Matthew 10:23. Say, persecute one city, flee to another. You will not run out of cities before Jesus comes back, he said. I'll come back before you run out of cities to flee to. What it means? It means that there will always be a place of refuge. You understand? Here is a revelation for you, okay? Look, yeah, you never run out of places of refuge. Before, you will not go to all the city, or not even Israel, that the Son of Man will come back.
So if somebody will stay in the hottest area of the New World Order, which are the main preparations they have to make for the end time?
If you have debts, you have to get out of debts. Getting out of debts when you have no money is the same situation. Pray for somebody to resurrect from the dead. Pray God to resurrect your finances somehow.
Amen.
Number one. Number
and
two,
will.
Yeah, because you cannot run around as a criminal and don't pay taxes. If you were so silly, so stupid, forgive me the word, that you disobey the Bible and you indebted yourself, well, you were silly. You were just silly. So what to do now? Well, you're caught in a trap of those financial sharks and vultures. So try to get out of it. Sell your golden tooth, your glassy eye, your sell whatever.
Cut on your spending, dear brethren. Boy, sell, you know, I'm thinking that there are some brethren.
Sell a pint of your blood. I don't know how much they pay these days for a pint of blood.
That's radical.
No, whatever, blood or not. But I'm thinking so many brethren have high standards of living, and they have to have meat five times a week, and they have to
so
go
many televisions.
Shopping. So many. Please, brethren, live humble, and you'll have
they need a TV
of money.
In the bathroom, so while they're floating in the bathroom, they don't miss the soap opera.
I mean,
between the bath soap and the soap opera, they're really soaked
up. Buy
the
cheapest shampoo there is around and cut on your spending, and you will see you will have plenty of money to pay off your debts.
Yeah, of course. What's it? Tell you, the Westerners, especially America, they are spoiled brats, a lot of them, okay? What they need is a good diet of Jesus, gospel, Spartan diet of Jesus, gospel, go preach the gospel. All you need is a pair of sandals. And I tell you, if you have debts, what I would do, you know what I would do? I would declare bankruptcy. Say, I have no money. Here, I can give you, do you want some blood? What do you want? I can give you, you can cut some hay, you can sell it as a wig. I say, I have no money. You know what they can do to you? Nothing. Nothing.
Really?
Nothing. You have no money. What are you
they cannot
do?
Put you in jail?
No, you have no money. That's what I would do. And then, you know what I would do from after that? Because as soon as you buy a car, they take it away from you. Understand?
Yeah.
So buy nothing. Just go preach the gospel with your pair of sandals. Pair of sandals.
That's
nice. Understand? Yeah. I knew a guy that...
Live simple, in other words.
Yeah, but just, you know. Amen. Pair of sandals. Jesus said, don't take 2 pair of sandals. Amen. And then preach the gospel. And then... I have a Jesus and you should have him too that solves problems. Something will happen. What? I don't know. A miracle. Next.
Do you think that it is God's will for some brethren to stay in the States, in the NWO or in Europe? To actually stay there? It is like God's will?
This is deep stuff here. They have to go to the Lord. How am I going to decide? The people come to me and say, shall I marry this girl? I say, buddy, excuse me. It took me so many years to find a good wife. But wait, I'm not going to tell you what you should marry. That's your problem. So if
too bad, Brother
so
Joseph.
If the marriage so the marriage isn't working, you're going to come and blame me. No, sorry.
I heard stories like that.
I made my mistakes in my life. You make your mistakes.
I heard people who said, God, I got married because
a prophet
told me.
I have a good marriage now. I have 6 children. I'm blessed. But I didn't come casually. I had to give my heart to Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God. I had to get out of the world, and God blessed me. All right, I have a son right here, right, Andrew? He's a sound musician.
Hi.
How's he going to tell us something?
Nothing. All under control, yeah. Andrew?
Sure.
You have a scripture for us or something?
No.
Okay, he's there with his big headphones. See, our children hear their work. So Andrew is the director, sound musician. God bless you.
At 12 years old.
Yeah,
that's
12 years old.
You know.
God bless you, Andrew.
We couldn't do without him. Too. Bless you too.
Amen.
So, Brother Joseph, I think I finished my questions. But
okay.
If you brethren have more questions, please write in. You're welcome, and we will answer you.
Praise God.
Well, now, I just want to say,
soon
I remember
it's time to go eat. So our dear cook is preparing a good meal in our dear community here.
I want to say, you mentioned a couple of days ago that you heard on the news that a certain man, I think in Vietnam, if I remember right, he just come out of the woods. He was living there for so many years. And that impressed me.
I forgot if it was, what did he say?
28 years or something like that. 28 years?
Something like that, something ridiculous. Like he was living in the woods, he thought... They were still in war.
With America?
With America.
So he's been living in the woods since the war was with America, and he thought the war never stopped, so he kept on and now surviving by himself.
Yeah, he lived in the woods and eating this and that.
Well, he could teach us a lot.
Amazing how he really he survived like that, and good teaching of survival. This other guy for a year or more, in the ocean.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to say that one of the most beautiful things I learned this morning was how, especially when you talked about Israel, and you didn't just give your opinion that Israel is a good refuge, you put it together with the Bible. From the Bible verses, it came to the conclusion that Israel can be a good place. And then all the other countries and all the other counsel you've been giving, you try to stand on the Bible. And that is really wonderful. And I bless you for it, Brother Joseph.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
And also, I remember before we left Europe, we took a good amount of time to hear from the Lord. We were getting on our knees daily in unity with everybody in the mission to hear God's voice. Where should we live? Where should we go for the end time?
Yeah.
And it took us a while to check and double check and ask a confirmation to the Lord. We didn't want to make a mistake. So I think that is the main key. Like, not just go by logical reasons, but actually really make sure God speaks to us.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the
Amen.
Lord. So listen, I just looked at my notes here. So the World War II soldier from Japan, he was hiding in the jungle for 29 years. He just died at 91 years old, CBS News.
Wow. He was 91?
29 years living in the forest. And here got the notes of the other I was talking about. This guy was lost in the Pacific for 16 months, eating fish, turtles, and drinking turtles' blood.
It's amazing he survived.
So anything is possible.
I mean, I read a story of a guy that wanted to cross the Atlantic, and he trained for 6 months to drink water from the ocean. Okay, so you can even do that. 6 months, a few months, he trained himself to drink water. And the doctor did the experiment. They said that the water of the ocean actually heals your body because there is salt, it's rich in salt, etc.
That's good.
So you see, there is always a way. I mean, there are people who live in the Sahara Desert. There are people who live in the North Pole. They just make a hole in the ice and the fish.
Yes.
In the North Pole.
Thank you,
so
Lord.
It's like, I tell you, you don't need this American, European TV, you need a new car every
shopping
few years. You need to go to supermarket with a trolley and fill it, which means you're a slave of your job and money. You don't need that. Learn to live like Jesus, like the disciples. They were taking the ear of the corn as they were walking, okay, and just with their hands, they were just preparing them and eating. The Pharisees were complaining, oh, you didn't wash your hands here. So in this, that's how those guys were eating. Just as they were walking around, just taking some fruits from here, from there. How do you think Jesus and disciples were eating? Not in the McDonald's with that poison food they sell, okay? Amen?
Amen.
So here is the diet I suggest. Gospel, Bible, Jesus, and witnessing.
Amen.
And seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen. May God help us.
Any more questions?
Amen. No, that's it. But Brother Joseph, wait,
because
tomorrow you need to be back here.
Go?
No. And it turns out tomorrow morning we wait for you again to answer other questions. We do have more questions, but we'll leave them for tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, the same time like today, 9 o'clock in the morning at Central American Time.
Okay.
And rebroadcasting at 8 in the evening.
Praise God.
So get ready and be punctual.
Thank you. You are inspiring MCs.
God bless you all.
Bless you. Thank you, Andrea.